Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
They're here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. It's hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. You guys know what that means. I am joined by my friendo, KC Bubba. Follow him on the Twitter, at BDNTrick. KC, what's going on?
Not much, my friend. It's another beautiful, beautiful evening. Got Thursday Night Football to talk about. We got some team winning the World Series to talk about. So much fun.
Yeah. The World Series, I'm excited to talk to you about it because we don't, you know, spoiler alert, this show is recorded before Saturday. So we haven't talked too much about the World Series because there's always games going on, or the MLB playoffs because there's always games going on. We're a little bit behind. We don't want to sound behind. But now that the World Series is over, we can talk about some of this baseball, and we're going to get into it. But before we get into what happened on the field, I want to hear, Bubba, your on a scale of 1 to 10, how obnoxious was the Welsh when the Dodgers not only won the World Series, but he picked them in 6 games and they won in 6 games. So all that stuff. I lost $100 to the Welsh earlier today. If you didn't hear that, because my neighbor's playing Dance Dance Revolution on the ceiling and I was getting annoyed and I was going on a little rant about it and I couldn't help myself. But your thoughts on the Welsh's level of annoyance, of annoying us, really, when the Dodgers won, because we're rational human beings. So we are not Dodger fans and we despise them.
And we're prideful human beings and we stick to our guns and we don't turncoat on people we like and appreciate and love. And so the Welsh, on a scale of 1 to 10, is a 14. Because it's absolutely embarrassing, the two-faced men. Like, literally, he should be partnered with the Joker on Batman, Christopher Nolan style, that two-face right there. He just wanted a ring. He is chasing a ring. He's Gary Payton. He's Karl Malone with the Lakers. He's trying all that kind of stuff. It's absolutely embarrassing. Just go do your thing. Accept your losses. At least when Bogman accepts his losses, he goes to Carl's Jr. He walks a few miles. He stands up for what he believes in. Where the Welsh, he just turncoats on all of us and roots for the freaking Los Angeles Dodgers.
I was so mad. And even worse is the people piling on and saying, hey, Welsh, we did it. Lifelong Dodger fan, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's all just to ignite me. So I know I should ignore it, but you guys know I have a real hard time ignoring that stuff. So, but that is going to take us to the break. We'll be right back to talk about the actual on-field stuff for the World Series. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo. All night.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. It's hour three, which means I'm joined by Casey Bubba, at BDNTrick on the Twitter. And Bubba, please tell everybody where they can find all your great work.
Great work. You're too kind. Find me on Twitter, at BDNTrick. I'll tweet most of it out there. Bench with Bubba. Doing that once or twice a week right now, going over just 2020 look ahead, 2021 look ahead, using some two early mocks, ADPs, stuff along those lines, and then written work over at rotoballer.com for the most part. I will have my 2021 fantasy rankings coming out at fantasysportsdegens.com here in the next few days, so come check out all that fun stuff. But follow me on Twitter, you get all the good info there.
Love that. Love that the you and the Welsh are already pounding out the rankings and all that good stuff. So,
and it's miserable. It's absolutely miserable. I'm already telling myself I'm wasting my time because so many free agents, and they're going to be free agents until March. Right. And it's like so many things I'm looking at going, this is just going to be bad. Like,
there's going to be a lot of adjustments.
Yes, lots of changes. So yeah. People, when you see rankings right now, don't yell at the people putting them together. Like, there's going to be so many changes. Like, just sit back, relax. Don't be the Welsh and root for the Dodgers. Be a normal human being and appreciate it.
I like that. Yeah, don't be the Welsh. That's the main
Never
thing.
Never go full Welsh.
Yeah. All right. So the Dodgers win the World Series. Sorry.
It hurts to say. It really hurts to say.
It does. I mean, I think you kind of had to expect it. I the thing that makes me the most mad about this is that AJ Pollock gets a ring. So, you know, that's the thing that aggravates me the absolute most about this World Series, because I don't hate all the Dodgers players. I don't hate Kenley. I don't particularly dislike Clayton Kershaw. You know, Walker Buehler seems like a fine person, you know, that like the players themselves are fine. It's the obnoxious Dodger fans. You know who you are because you root for the Dodgers. So if you root for the Dodgers, you're obnoxious. We all know that. That's what I hate about it more than anything, because I don't know. It's just, and it comes from being in a bigger market and all that stuff. So it's not that much you can do to help this. But there's just so many fair weather fans who, oh, Dodgers, Dodgers, Dodgers. Okay, name me five players. Name me five players. Most of those people, none of those people are listening to this, you know, because if you listen to this, you're a sports fan. You can name more than five Dodgers. I'm not talking about you listening to this right now. I'm talking about your friends who are also kind of maybe a Dodger fan and went with you one time and complained about the parking and complained about the crowd, but wore a Dodger hat, and now they're all over their social media and they're huge Dodger fans. I don't know why I'm going down this road.
But when they say Dodger dogs are the best hot dogs on the planet, yeah, you know.
I mean, they're hot dogs, you know.
They're boiled in water.
Yeah, they're hot dogs boiled in water. You know, they're still elbows and a-holes, so you know what a hot dog is. But let's talk about Kevin Cash, because this was obviously a very, very controversial action where he took Blake Snell out. And what I was saying earlier in the show with the Welsh was, I know this is what they've been doing the whole year, so you can't really, I don't want to hang this on Kevin Cash too much. But I will say that in postseason history, it has been littered with guys that pull pitchers too early. Pedro and Grady Little, remember that? And it's happened with Kershaw a bunch of times. And the Dodgers players were upset that Kershaw got lifted so quickly, I think, in game five. So there's been a history of, you know, going to the bullpen and the bullpen doesn't work. I personally think that the move to go to Nick Anderson was the worst move than going to pull Blake Snell, because, you know, we've seen the numbers the third time through the order. The Welsh gave it out earlier in the show. But when you pull a pitcher that's cruising like that, specifically in a deciding playoff game, you give the momentum to the other team. You know, whether that momentum is going to last or not is based on what happens with the relief pitcher, because you can shut them up real quick because they're just happy to see that guy get out of the game. But if the next guy comes in and shuts them down, they're going, well, maybe we just can't hit at all this game, you know. But then obviously the Dodgers take the lead, you know, three batters after that or whatever, and it was downhill from there. So your thoughts, and I saw what you were saying on Twitter a little bit, so I think I know the majority of it, but your thoughts on Kevin Cash and this move.
You're mentioning how a lot of guys have been taken out too early. Well, I still have PTSD from Russ Ortiz getting left out too much in 2002. So there's two sides of every story here.
Very true.
But yes, like I've said before, if you want some dumb entertainment at the time, you want some Neanderthal baseball coverage, follow me on Twitter, because it was very eventful that evening. Very eventful, because in the heat of the moment, I was supporting Kevin Cash, because for me, A, in a world where we're trying to embrace analytics now, we're not all Alex Rodriguez, we're not all C-round rock make you know, tire. That's a different person. we're trying to like embrace these things. The Rays are one of the most analytical teams in baseball, and we've embraced them for all of that, like everything about that. We love. There's
That's
a reason
how they
why
got
they
here, too.
Reason why they don't spend a lot of money and they win a lot of baseball games and they get it done because they use analytics. Like this is what they do. So that's what Kevin Cash did. So I was throwing out things. You mentioned the Wells talked about it. Look at how Blake Snell's been used all season. Look at how Blake Snell's third time through. Like, there's so many things that back up every single thing to take Kevin Cash out of there. You said what my biggest point was, and it eventually started getting the pitchforks taken down a little bit, was I said, let's not argue about Blake Snell coming out. Because, yes, he was doing great. Maybe he should have finished the inning, all these things. Whatever. I really think it's hard to strike out Mookie Betts three times in one game, but people were saying that was going to happen. Let's talk about bringing Nick Anderson in, who had given up a run in every single game. He's pitched in six straight games. I know they had a few off days finally.
But eight out of 10 playoff games, he gave up a run.
He hasn't had it. Let's just be real. Like, he's been great in the regular season. He was great last season. He hadn't had it. I would even have been fine bringing in Ryan Yarbrough. I know it's another lefty. That would have made everyone's head explode. But he can go deeper into games. Fleming's been good. Like, they had so many other guys, like Fairbanks. Like so many guys they could have gone to get through that inning. I would have been so much better with that decision. We could have that discussion. The bringing Nick Anderson part bugged me. Kevin Cash, he's going to take a lot of heat. I know Blake Snell's ticked off. I know some people might be ticked off. But it's one of those things. It's like, okay, it didn't work this time. I bet you if they did it 10 times, it works 7 times at least. Like, it's because it's what they do. So I find it hard to believe just to bury this guy for this. He's getting a team that if you looked at that roster on opening day, you'd be the grounds crew in Major League speaking in a foreign language about how bad this baseball team is. And I won't use the words they used in that movie. So, like, that's the kind of thing that he's doing by using analytics. You got to support it. Blake Snell had one good season. He's a very good pitcher, but he's not a perennial Cy Young candidate. And that's why they do what they do with him, to get the most they can out of him. So accept that and embrace that.
So knowing the analytics and knowing that that's a lot of what the Rays do, if Casey Bubba is the manager of the Rays and you're in that scenario, and maybe that's the right move to make. Maybe this is the move you make because, like you mentioned, Russ Ortiz. And I've seen it both ways, because I feel like Buck Showalter and Torey Lovullo have had the same issue a little bit, where they leave a guy in too long.
Real quick example. Yeah. Look at Max Scherzer this whole season. Dave Martinez left him out there so many. If you own Max Scherzer in fantasy baseball, you were having great starts through 5.5 innings or so. And then how many times did he go 6 or 7 innings? And those two innings were disastrous every time.
And you just look at the average of first, second, third time through the order. Of course it gets worse. I mean, everybody knows that. But if Casey Bubba's the manager of the Rays and it's game 6 and Blake Snell is cruising, he gives up a hit to lead off the second. Are you yanking him? Or are you letting him pitch? It wasn't even, I think he got the first guy out and then gave up the hit. But are you yanking him in that scenario? Are you letting him cruise for one more inning?
I go out there and I have a very serious conversation with him. I guess not a, hey, and not like where Blake's going, yeah, bro, I got this. Not Twitch Blake. I want a real conversation about, like, I want to look you in the eyes, like, do you really have this? And if that's the point, you have it, because there's also a relationship these guys have. Like, you can tell these things. And if you can feel like, okay, we're good, great. Otherwise, you go with what got you there. Like, I have no problem with the move at all. It sucks. I get it. We wanted the Rays to win, obviously, but I have no problem with it.
I'll have a counterpoint, but we do have to go to break. So I'll have a counterpoint when we come back. But I love this discussion because it's interesting and it makes everything. I mean, look, nothing's going to change game 4. That was wild and fun and great. And that's the, you know, that's the diamond of this World Series. But the Dodgers win, it makes us all sick here. So we'll be right back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. We'll be back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back, everybody, in this league on the Sports Grid and the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. Follow my brother, Casey Bubba, at BDentric on the Twitter. And the point that I was going to make when we went to break is you said in that scenario, you're going to go out, you're going to have a real conversation with Blake Snell, you're going to make him look you in the eye and all that stuff. If he says he doesn't have it, do you have any respect left for that guy? He's definitely going to say, I got it. I have him. I'm going to get him. He's going to say that, especially because his teammates are going to come in when the World Series is on the line. They're going to be there in that discussion as well. So, I mean, there's no way he doesn't say that he has it. He's going to look you in the eye. But so are you going to base it on his body language or his words?
Well, that's where it goes back to. I said they've built a relationship for now. Like, you know how guys act. You know how they're confident, how they feel. Like, there's things you know about them. That's one big part about being a manager. It's not just being able to dial up the X's and O's type things. You got to be able to read people. Like, you have to be able to know what's going on when a guy feels it, when he doesn't. And so that's when you got there. Of course he's going to say he's got it. You hope to God he says he has it. Like you said, if he doesn't, then we got a way bigger problem on our hands right now.
Right.
But it's like when he's talking to you, that's why you look him in the eyes, because you know how it is when you talk to anybody. They can look at the ground and sound confident. But if they're looking at you straight in the eyes, like, it's like, again, I'll reference Major League because it's, to me, one of the best baseball movies ever. When Roger Dorn walks up to Ricky Vaughn in the ninth inning after Ricky Vaughn just slept with his wife and Ricky Vaughn is ready to dribble down his pants, and Roger Dorn grabs the ball and he says, strike this mother out with it. But you saw the eyes. Like, that was a serious, like, we're cool. We'll talk about this later. We got a game to win. Like, that kind of conversation goes a long ways.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you on that. So that's a good answer. I think it's a pretty good question. Better answer right there from Casey Bubba. Before we move on.
Real quick. Very last thing. Like, I don't want to drag this on. Everyone that's giving Cash a hard time for going to the bullpen because they didn't want to use the bullpen, blah, blah, blah. The Dodgers use their bullpen for 9 innings.
Yeah.
So don't tell me you can't use a bullpen to win a World Series game.
Yeah, and the Rays invented the bullpen game.
Let's look at the whole story.
Right, right. Last thing on the World Series, Justin Turner. Like, just such a scummy move, right? I mean, look, it's hard to call it a scummy move. I think it's easier because we're not Dodger fans. But
the world we live in, how we're getting, we can't do things that these guys can, like, I could go on a diatribe here.
right. But Justin Turner and coming back out, and, you know, I know, you know, Mookie Betts said, look, he's our teammate. We want him to celebrate, all that stuff. But that is not a smart move by Justin Turner, right?
The biggest problem with it, regardless if you believe this thing's the flu, you believe it's a real thing, whatever your belief
in
COVID-19. This is a perception. You are a professional athlete. Major League Baseball is taking a stand saying we are doing everything in our power to protect our players. Justin Turner literally goes on Twitter before, I think, even the final out, or just when the final out, the team just started to celebrate, saying he apologizes, he tested positive, he feels bad, he can't be out there, blah, 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 blah.
And five he minutes goes later, right back out there.
5 minutes later on TV, there's this redheaded leprechaun running around, and we couldn't figure out who it was until he figured out it was Justin Turner. And it was like, what? And then his mask is off. Then he's sitting next to his manager, Dave Roberts, who's a cancer survivor. Right. There's just a litany of things. There's kids, there's family, there's all these things. So it's just like, I know the argument, okay, he's been playing with these guys, blah, blah, blah.
Josh Hamilton, when the Rangers and the Angels are celebrating their playoff wins or wherever, I think it was with the Rangers, but he had to go in a separate room because he's an alcoholic, and those guys are all spraying champagne all over each other.
Well, I agree. So, and it's just the whole thing is, I want to go back to MLB because they're throwing him under the bus the next day, which is BS.
Well, they should.
But the same thing, if you had an inconclusive test, he shouldn't have been in the game to begin with.
Right.
Until you get the positive results back.
And where did he get it? Because they're supposed to be in a bubble too.
That's where Twitter can be fun because it can be a cesspool, but then there's other people saying it's not quite the best bubble you can think of because their buddy got into the Yankees hotel and was taking pictures with players when the Yankees were in the playoffs. Jesus Christ. So this is MLB at its finest, trying to act like they're doing the right thing. And then when it all matters the most, it just goes right out the window. And it really, I was super confident of 2021 just having like a spring training, a full season, because we saw these guys travel and make things work. I'm like, okay, right, we're good. Like, they want this. And I still think they'll have a really good season, but I am a lot more concerned. I'm not going to be dumb because it's not going to go away in the next, it's going to be at least 6 months or so. Like, it might get better. It ain't going away. So, yeah, I don't want to make it a whole political thing like everybody turns COVID into, but it's just more of a, the perception. And then, last thing I want to say on it is that the next day, when they say everyone else's tracing test came back positive, has MLB not understood how this thing works? The incubation period, it doesn't just happen in 12 hours. So all these people are now on a plane going back to their respective cities.
Yeah, it's a mess. And, if you need even further proof that Adam Silver is the best commissioner in all of sports, you can see the NBA did the bubble and they did it right. Yep.
Rob Manfred. This was basically a gigantic turd of the picture of Rob Manfred. That's what this was.
And I haven't even heard his comments. I know that people are saying he sounded bad or something. I don't even really know what the story was there, but I couldn't sit and watch the Dodgers get, all that stuff. So
I started watching the boys, with my wife. I watched when Honey looked like she was a broken up mirror. That's what it was.
I have one. Our friend Jag is a huge Dodgers fan. I text him. I said, I'm happy for you and no one else. So, and then I moved on. So
I did the same thing. I text my three really close buddies over here. I gave shout out to a couple guys on Twitter that we're friends with. That was where it ended. I was not going to start doing things and that your thing. I did throw some jabs today at an event I was at because I was wearing Giants gear and every Dodger fan had to let me know that they just won. And by about the fifth one, I finally said, hey, it's okay. We have three for 162 game seasons. So it's cool. I bit my tongue. I was being nice, but they wouldn't stop. Because you said, when you started this whole thing in segment two, the annoying Dodger fans.
Yes. Dude, I've done it to Suns fans because I'm, originally I'm from Houston. I'm a Rockets fan. I moved out here and I picked up the Diamondbacks because I moved here about a month before they announced that Arizona was getting a franchise. So I followed that from the ground up. But I the Rockets, we left Houston the day after they won their first title. And I watched them the second year win back-to-back titles against Shaq and the Magic and all that stuff. So I was at a Suns game and these guys were in a luxury box screaming at me because I had my Rockets gear on. My other buddy is a huge Suns fan. And I started doing the two rings and my buddy started getting mad at me. I'm like, your guy's over here starting this. I'm just answering back. But we got to talk about this Thursday night game, Bubba, because I think we need to respect this for what it is. It's more rare than a rookie card. It's more rare than, some of those old school sneakers. The Falcons hold on to a fourth quarter lead when they had a chance to blow it. They win 25-17. This game is in the rain. It was a little ugly. Matt Ryan, 21 of 30, 281 yards, a pick. He ran for a touchdown. Todd Gurley, rough night running, 18 attempts, 2.6 yards, most of that coming in the second half, 46 yards and a touchdown. Brian Hill had 11 for 55, caught two balls. Julio with the big night here, 7 for 137. Ridley had 3 for 42, but left with a foot injury. Hayden Hurst had 5 for 54, not much for anybody else. On Carolina's side, Teddy Bridgewater, 15 of 23, 176, a touchdown and a pick. He left this game after taking a nasty, dirty hit from Charles Harris. Charles Harris was ejected. P.J. Walker came in, but Bridgewater returned before the end of the game. Mike Davis, 13 of 66, also one catch for 11, so 77 total yards. Not the best way to go out for him. D.J. Moore didn't have a catch for 57 minutes of this game. Caught two balls in the final drive. Wound up leading the Panthers in receiving, 2 for 55. Robbie Anderson, 8 targets, 5 catches, 48 yards. Curtis Samuel had a receiving touchdown and a rushing touchdown, so a nice night for him. But, I mean, Atlanta pulls this win out. What words would you describe this win? Finally? Desperately? What would it be?
Shocking. I swear, if I was somewhere where I could bet on live odds when the Panthers got the ball on the last drive, I probably would put odds on the Panthers just because, like, money line. I figured I swore it was going overtime, especially when they made that DJ Moore connection. I'm like, oh, yep, this is pretty much how it goes. We're going to OT, and they're going to come back and win this thing. But the Falcons did it because on paper they should be a good football team. They just haven't been. Yeah. A lot of it is Julio, which is great. Like, he's been good the last few weeks. He seems to be healthy, which is tough for Julio to stay healthy. Yeah. And at least Gurley ran better in the second half. I am concerned, though, as a Gurley fantasy owner, Brian Hill got a lot of work there, a lot of work. And that's concerning.
It seemed to be that they were saving Gurley for the second half. That's really what it looked like, because
workload management stuff here. It's getting ridiculous, but it is Todd Gurley, so I get it. But, man.
Yeah. Well, hey, look, Todd Gurley, you know, everyone worried about him coming into the season, and everyone else is hurt but Todd Gurley. You know, and he has 8 touchdowns.
He's like a top 10 PPR running back right now.
Yeah. If he scores a touchdown a game, he's 16 touchdowns. That's incredible for Todd Gurley. So, you know, that's what you're hoping for with him. You're not going to get huge yardage outputs for most games from him in the end zone, even if it's on accident, one or two times a game. So that's what you want out of him. What's your DJ Moore only caught balls on that last final drive? Are you concerned about him moving forward? He's already had been getting out targeted by Robbie Anderson this year.
It's the Robbie Anderson show. There's no hiding that. So I'd be concerned. DJ Moore had a couple of good games, but in the end, it's Robbie Anderson time, and we'll see what Teddy does. And McCaffrey's coming back, so you know there's more targets going there too.
Yeah, man. It's just it's tough to get a grip on what DJ Moore is doing, and I love him, and I think his production can be much better. But I don't have all kinds of faith in Teddy B, although he's played much better than I gave him credit for coming into the year. And I have to give that up because he has been pretty good, but not good enough. But we are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get all of Bubba's picks for week 8. He did great last week, so I'm excited to see what he has to say. He's doing the money sign. We'll be right back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid, the Mighty 1090.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In This League.
This is the way. Stop touching things.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. You're 1090 in San Diego. I'm your host, Scott Bogman, on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports, joined by Casey Bubba, at BDentrick, BDENTREK, on the Twitter machine. We are here to do your bets, Bubba, and last week you crushed on sides, 9-4 on both. You had Detroit, they win, Cincinnati, Carolina, the Jets, the Washington football team, Green Bay, the Chargers, Tampa Bay, and the Rams. Got all of those and did a great job on your over-under. Still didn't get the parlay. You missed
by half a point.
Was it half a point? I think it was a little more because wasn't that 57? Yeah, it was 57. I think.
You're right. You're right. I'm thinking of a different game. You are correct.
But 2 out of 3. Welsh got 2 out of 3. I was 0 for 3 this week. I was 9 and 4 against the spread. So my against the spread picks were good, but I just happened to pick two of the teams that I did not get. I picked Seattle and I picked Buffalo. I can't believe Buffalo did not cover that against the Jets. The Jets are abysmal.
J-E-T-S, Jets.
Yeah, but they covered 12.5, so they only lost by 8. But this week, there's some intriguing games here. So let's just kick it off and start with the Colts on the road at the Lions. Colts coming off the bye. Indianapolis favored by 2.5 on the road. 50 is the over-under on this game. How do you see that one going?
I really wanted to take Detroit at home here, but Indianapolis, very strong defense, getting, I believe, 2, if not 3 players back on their starting D this week. That's going to be big, big-time stuff there. Give me Indianapolis and Detroit and the under on this one.
Lockstep. I like that. We're starting off the very same. So, yeah, I took the Colts and the under, too. I don't trust the Lions. What I really don't trust is Patricia. I just do not trust him to do the right thing most times. The Raiders on the road against the Cleveland Browns. The Browns are home favorites by 2.5, 52.5 high over on that game. How do you see that one going?
It's a tricky one because I want to really stack this game in DFS, but the weather is going to be windier than windy, 25-mile-an-hour, 50-mile-an-hour gusts in this one, which scares me. I'm going to take Las Vegas, though. I'm going to take Las Vegas, as I still think they're a much better team than Cleveland. Cleveland's playing good. Not going to take it away from them.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take the Raiders in this one. I'm going to take the under as well.
I went with the over just because what we saw with Cincinnati and Cleveland, and Cincinnati just put up points at will. And Derek Carr throwing the deep ball. Well, hopefully those gusts don't interfere with that too much. But, you know, a lot of quarterbacks
short passes to Aguilar. Short passes to Aguilar.
He's getting a lot of yak. We'll take it. But Brian Edwards might be back in this game. You get another week healthier of Henry Ruggs. They got to target Henry Ruggs more, man. You got to get the ball in his hands. You got to set up plays for him. Screen pass, whatever, reverse, whatever you got to do. You got to do that for Ruggs for sure. How about this one's a tricky one to figure out. The Rams on the road against your Miami Dolphins. They are 3-point road favorites. 46 is the over in this game. It's Tua time. Is he going to win that first start?
This is so tough for me. Like, I wanted to say it's Tua time, plus 3, but I'm also very nervous because it is Tua time against Aaron Donald and company down there. Like, this is tricky. I'm going to go with the Rams -3. This might just be the spiteful Dolphins fan in me expecting, like, some road bumps to hit the rookie out the gate.
I don't think the Welsh has taken the Niners since week one. So, yeah.
And I've taken the Dolphins a few times. But give me the Rams and give me the under in this one. I think Miami wants to limit as much to a time as they have to.
Yeah, I got the Rams. I took the over. I don't know what to expect from Tua. I think he can put up points, but will he? It's a big question. I'd much rather take the Rams straight up than I would play the over on that game. How about Minnesota at Green Bay? Green Bay is a 6.5-point favorite. 52.5 is the over in that game.
Yeah, this is Aaron Rodgers continuing to do Aaron Rodgers things. Lazard, I don't believe he'll be back this week, but he's getting really close, which would be great. But Adams is a monster. Aaron Jones may be back, but they might temper him. Lots of question marks. Regardless, Green Bay is going to win by at least a touchdown in this one, and it's going to go over. Like we saw the first game this year, I think they scored almost 70 points or so.
They scored over 70, It was like 43-34 or something.
The
like
only
that.
Thing is it's going to be in Lambeau. It's going to be cold, possible snow. I don't care. Green Bay, over.
I feel like we're getting snow earlier and earlier. Like that snowy game in Denver was correct. Yeah, I mean, but it's definitely global warming. I understand.
Trust me, I don't want to discuss this on any show ever. I just had to make a joke. I apologize for that right now. Do not get up as it is. It the Welsh and ask him about it, not me.
I love that you gave out the Welsh. This one, the Welsh and I were split on. New England at Buffalo. Buffalo, a home favorite by 4. Both these teams did not look great last week. 43 is the over on this game. How do you see this miserable game playing out?
Very miserable game. This might be like gut reaction because New England looked so bad last week, but I think they are that bad right now. Give me Buffalo, who hasn't looked great, but give me Buffalo on this one and give me the under. I think it's a very slow game. Josh Allen might fall in the end zone a couple times. Buffalo, under.
This is my upset pick of the week. I'm going to take the Patriots because I as bad as they looked, I think that Patriots team would have beat Buffalo by 12. the one that got smashed by San Francisco. I think this Jets team is the worst NFL team I've seen in my life. I think they're worse than the 0-6 Lions, 0-16 Lions. I don't know what has to happen to get Adam Gase fired. But
Worst coach, Adam Gase, Tony La Russa. Go. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Ooh. It's Adam Gase, though. Yeah. Tony La Russa could fall asleep in the dude. How many times do you think he falls asleep in the dugout this year?
The only thing I can think of is like Chicago area must have the best Uber program in all the country.
Yeah, you're going to get that Uber gold from Tony La Russa for sure. I guess maybe Uber silver because he's old. Get it? Say the Jets on the road against the Chiefs. The Jets are 19.5-point favorites. 49 is the over in that game.
I have to take the Jets. It's just 19.5 is ridiculous, even though Kansas City should win by like 40. Give me the Jets and give me the under in this one as well.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how silly are you going to feel when Kansas City wins this game by 35?
Not at all, because I wouldn't be shocked by it. Like, they should. But I'm going to take the Jets. I'm going to take the under because I don't like myself, but I was 9-4 last week, so we're cool.
It worked last week, right? Yeah, exactly. And that was one of my parlay picks, and I didn't get any of them right. So
21, it's already dropping down. So
how many touchdowns for Lev Bell against the Jets?
That's the one I'm scared about. At least 2.
Yeah, I picked him. I picked him on Line Star with Joe to score the touchdown, and I am getting him in all my lineups. So I think the revenge game narrative is alive and well. Absolutely for Bell. How about my game? Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Baltimore 3.5-point favorites coming off the bye. 46.5 is the over in that one.
This game should not be an easy pick for me because these teams are very tough with each other, but it is an easy pick for me. Give me Pittsburgh plus 3.5. Give me the over. Take the Pittsburgh money line with a little sprinkle if you like. Pittsburgh wins this game because Baltimore is a good team, but Lamar is not as great as he was last year, and Pittsburgh is a darn good Super Bowl contending football team. So Pittsburgh over.
I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, I obviously a big Steelers fan here. And I picked Pittsburgh too. And I picked against Pittsburgh in the past. I haven't this year. And by the way, they're 6-0. So I haven't this year. But I think that the Ravens are a great team, but they're not dominant like they were last year. If they were that dominant and beating the doors off of everybody they played, I would I would probably take them, but they were just as, they let Philly come back in that game, just like Pittsburgh did. I think this is going to be a close one. So even if it comes down to a field goal, that hook gets us the win. So how about Tennessee on the road against Cincinnati? Tennessee 5.5-point favorite, 53.5 is the over.
Fighting Joey Burrow's cover spreads, folks. Cincinnati plus 5.5. Give me the over in this one. Track meet.
I think it's a track meet as well. The Welsh also took the over. I took Tennessee though. I hope that 5.5 doesn't come down to Gostkowski. I'll say that. How about the Chargers on the road against the Broncos? They are 3-point road favorites. 44.5 is the over on that one.
So many injuries for Denver. Give me the Chargers -3 and the over on this one.
I went with the under because I don't think Denver can score, but yeah, I took the Chargers as well.
Alberto, very affordable on DFS. Throwing it up.
Aquabunum, by the way. It's I heard a Quabanon at the combine, Aquabunum, and then the announcer said that is how he wants us to say it. So he clearly talked to him or his agent or something. New Orleans on the road against Chicago. New Orleans by 4, 43.5. Probably don't bet on this game, but who are you taking?
I'm taking Chicago plus 4 on this one. And I don't love it, but I'm taking Chicago at home. Getting 4, and I'm going to take the over. Don't love that either. So don't bet on this game.
And you did early unders, and now you're hitting the overs. I took under in this game because Foles looks like absolute trash. So
Whiskey's coming back soon. It's happening.
Dude, how can Nagy be the head coach if Trubisky comes back?
Like, true. True.
That's why you should have started with Foles and let him fail and then went to Trubisky so he could be the hero. The Niners on the road against the Seahawks. Seahawks 2.5-point favorites here. 53 coming off that Sunday night loss in overtime to the Cardinals. How do you see that one going?
Man, if this was a stadium full of fans, easy Seattle. But I'm still going to take Seattle, and I'm going to take the over, but it might come down to a late field goal. Seattle over.
How about Dallas at Philly? I can't believe we can't flex this out. Like, shouldn't we start at week 8 instead of week 10 for the flexes? This is bad. Dallas at Philly. Philly, a 7.5-point home favorite. 42.5 is the over here. Ben DiNucci time.
Yeah, I don't know how Dallas is going to score, but I'm still taking the over. I'm taking Philadelphia because I think Philadelphia scores a ton because Dallas defense can't do anything and Philly's getting healthy. So Philadelphia, over.
I mean, you know, let's say Philly's going to get 35 points against Dallas, right?
Yep, they should.
So we're not asking for a lot, more than a touchdown and an extra point. 35-10,
let's go.
Yeah, 35-10, that's exactly 35-9,
you might not score any touchdowns.
Sure, whatever. Three field goals, we'll take it. That hits the over. I took the over, too. I think Philly might get there by themselves. Tampa Bay at the Giants. As long as this game gets played, apparently the Giants have some COVID issues here, but Tampa Bay is a 10.5-point road favorite against these Giants. 46 is the over in that one.
Yeah, people should know by now I hate these big numbers. I'm still taking Tampa Bay. They're that much better than the Giants. Give me Tampa Bay. Give me the over because Tampa Bay should score at least 4 or 5 touchdowns on their own.
Yeah, all right. So you went with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 unders. I had 1, 2, 3, also 5 unders. The Welsh had 1, 2, 3, 4. We all had 5 unders. That's a little surprising. All on different games, too. So this game has been weird. Look, listen to Bubba. Listen to the Welsh on the unders and over unders. I'm really good against the spread this year. I'm 57-41, 16 games over. But on these over-unders, which is weird because I'm doing good in most of my fantasy leagues, you'd think picking the over-unders is game script and knowing who to start and all that stuff. But I've been missing a lot of them by half a point, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I missed my upset
last night. Why the lights stay on in Vegas, Bogman.
That's right. Yeah. I know. So, but last year I was 22 games over 500 on over-unders. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and most of our parents are full uphill both ways. It's just, it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's very true. So,
Tony DeRusso got hired as the manager of the White Sox. Weird things happen.
You know, and that's, I was watching the Thursday night football game earlier, and one of my, my guy Sorio in the Army picked the guy to get the pick to end the game. Cause we all, every time there's a last minute drive and a team has a chance to tie it or something, I say, okay, who gets the pick? Because we know the quarterback's going to make a desperation heave. And he picked Bray Wilson, and that's the guy that got the pick. And I said, all right, Sorio, how about some lottery numbers now? Let's get some lotto numbers after this. So, you know, like you said, Tony La Russa can get hired. You know, the next manager of the White Sox will be Casey Bubba. And then you'll be making those game six decisions. And you'll leave that pitcher in because you saw Kevin Cash do it. And you don't want to have PTSD from that. But we'll be right back. We'll get Bubba's parlay after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid and the Mightier 1090.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Endless Love playing to bring us in. You guys know what that means. It's the end of the 3-hour tour here with myself, Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh, and Casey Bubba. Follow us all on Twitter at Bogman Sports, at Is It The Welsh, at BDN Trick. Please check out the ITL Patreon if you would. Patreon.com/ITL Army. We got all kinds of stuff for you. We're doing off-season mock drafts every month to see how players adjust in ADP on ITL here. So if you'd like to participate in the November drafts, please sign up on November 1st if you could. We'll be rolling a couple days after that on those new mocks. And please check out the Patreon if you would. We have GroupMe rooms. We have secret shows. We've got all kinds of good stuff for you there. So check that out if you would. Time for a Bubba parlay. Now, I'll tell you what the Welsh did. He went with the Rams minus the points. He went with the Cleveland Vegas over, and he went with Seattle. I went with the Cleveland Vegas over as well. I picked Tennessee minus 5.5. Sorry, I don't think Joey covers this week. And I took Philly minus 7.5 because Dallas is beat up, and even if they weren't beat up, they're pretty bad. So, Bubba, what is your 3-team parlay for this week, and are you going to hit it?
I am going to hit it, yes, because confidence, unlike Blake Snell. we have one in common, Philly 7.5, with you there. I'm on that one. I'm taking the over in the Niners-Seattle. over 53. And I will take the over in Green Bay, Minnesota at 52.5.
All right. So that's Philly minus 7.5. San Francisco, Seattle over. Green Bay and Minnesota over. I like that one. I think those are pretty strong here. If I can hit over on my stupid thing, my typing fingers are not working correctly. Yeah, it should be a fun weekend. This is a big game for my Steelers, man. I'm excited for it. You know, Ravens week, always a huge week.
Always a good week. Always a good week in this game.
And the next one's on Thanksgiving. And the last time the Steelers played the Ravens on Thanksgiving was the Mike Tomlin sideline incident where he got fined. He got fined a cool half mil. So
pretty sure the players all paid for that.
Probably. But that is going to wrap it up for us. Remember, like I said, please follow us all on Twitter at Bogman Sports for me, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh, at BDN Trick for Bubba. And have a great weekend, everybody. I hope you win all your fantasy matchups and all your bets and all your DFS stuff. And we will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.